Blog Talk Radio.
Love, love, love. That's what we're all looking for. Someone to look into our eyes and take our heads and tell us that we're beautiful.
Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Ganny, the KEI radio host, and I'm joined here today with Pastor Bill Jenkins. Pastor Bill Jenkins is the senior pastor of the Church of Acts in Indianapolis, in Indiana, and he is also the host of Generation Acts on the local television broadcast in Indiana on TBN. So he's here with us tonight, and we're going to learn some key insights about the number 15. The number 15 from out of his book, 15, giving the number 15 a prophetic voice to release a vision for success. So I hope that you guys are ready to take a ride and a journey to learn some in-depth prophetic knowledge about the Holy Bible this night. And Pastor Bill, would you like to open us up in prayer before we start off?
Absolutely, Donna. Thanks for having me on today's program. I'm real excited, and I like what you said. Get ready to take a ride. So that's what we're going to do. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. We know that this is the day that you have made. Lord, we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it. We just give you praise tonight, and we pray, God, that we'd open our ears, our minds, our hearts, receive everything that you would have to place and pour inside of us tonight. Change us. Make us more like you. Give us inspiration. God, fill our hearts with the knowledge of God so we can go out there, put our hands to the plow, and do more for you. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Pastor Bill Jenkins. And can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself for those out there that may have not been able to watch Generation Acts? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Pastor?
Sure. Well, I've been pastoring here in Indianapolis for approximately 24 years, and we do have a local television program here called Generation Acts. Our church is called Church of Acts, and Acts, A-C-T-S, it comes from one of the books of the Bible, obviously, but it also is an acronym that stands for Anointed Christians Tormenting Satan. And so I believe that's what we ought to be doing, is out there tormenting the devil, doing something good for God, building his kingdom like the name of your program is, and doing something that can truly make a difference in this world.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of message that we need here tonight. And I'm so happy that you're so on fire for Christ, because I can feel it over here. And I know everybody else there can too. So can you tell us a little bit about the book, about 15? What inspired you and how you decided to write about it?
Well, what inspired me is that every year what I like to do is release a vision to the church. You know, I believe without a vision, the people perish. And so what I like to do is get along with the Lord, pray, seek his face, and get the mind of Christ as to what he would have us to cast out for the church for a year. But this year it was just a little bit different in that I felt like the Lord wanted this message to go bigger, broader, have a wider audience. And so when I entered my prayer closet December 1st, I never realized that 5 days later I would finish and really have a 150-page book, 150-page vision that I was going to release, not just to my church, but to the body of Christ. And so that's really where it began. It's just having a desire to cast out a vision, get something for people to latch on to, grab a hold of for that coming year, and really to give them some plans and purposes of God to help set them up for success.
Okay, great. Can you tell us about how many times is the number 15 actually mentioned in the Bible?
Well, listen, there's all kinds of numbers in the Bible. There's actually 31,000 scriptures in the Bible, and one out of six revolve around a reference to a number. And so numbers are a significant part of scripture. But I never dreamed with all the numbers in the Bible that I would find what I found out when I began to research. You know, there's numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 10, 12, 30, 40, 50, 70 are popular numbers. But 15 just didn't seem like it was going to be a popular number. But 15 actually shows up in the Word of God 42 different times in the Bible. So that kind of shocked me, you know, it kind of just like, wow, how in the world can this be? But it's 42 times the number 15 is mentioned in the Bible.
Wow, that's interesting. How is the number 15 important to us today? How can the body of Christ relate to the number 15? How does it impact us now?
Well, here's the thing. You know, the numbers are such a part of our life. I think we overlook the obvious sometimes, and we do not realize it. One chapter in my book that I talk about is just how numbers are significant in our society, whether it be the sports world, and how even in tennis, the number 15 is the first point that's scored in the game. Major League Baseball has 15 teams in the American, 15 teams in the National League, billiards, 15-numbered pool balls, backgammon begins with each side having 15 checkers. You know, the NFL is big right now. The Super Bowl is coming up, big scandal going on. I'm from Indianapolis. The Colts lost a couple of days ago, and, you know, everybody's talking about this big, you know, football deflation scandal that's going on here. Well, in the NFL, they have, what, 4 15-minute quarters, and then if you have an unsportsmanlike conduct, you get a 15-yard penalty. And what people don't get, if you count those numbers in unsportsmanlike, guess what? It has 15 letters, but it's not just connected to our sports world. It's in our entertainment world. There are 15 is a soap opera for teens on Nickelodeon. 15 was a movie on TV and the big screen. There's a restaurant called 15, a puzzle called 15, a punk rock band called 15. Taylor Swift, Marilyn Manson both wrote songs that were entitled 15. The Beatles had 15 number one albums. I mean, so it's everywhere. Even the president, you know, 15 is connected with our president in that, guess what? The president has 15 executive departments that we know as the cabinet. So it's everywhere. It's in every part of society. And I believe as we see this year progress and as we see the days pass, what we're going to do is we're going to see those kind of things pop up in the news. Stuff is going to revolve around that because 15 is so connected to them and I believe significant in the year 2015.
You know, now that you say that, I think you have something going on there because we know that 2015 is something that the body of Christ will experience, you know, supernatural things this year. And that is if they move forward in action. Tell us a little bit about how the individual number have hidden messages in it.
Well, every number has some kind of a message. And what we need to do is instead of defining things ourselves is let God's word define it for us. You know, that's where we get into trouble is too many times what we do is we try to figure things out, define stuff, come up with our own theology and doctrine, and we mess everything up. So what we need to do is see what it references whenever it's mentioned. For instance, I mentioned a moment ago about different numbers in the Bible. Well, whenever you see one, one has that hidden message of absolute singleness or unity or a beginning, not a new beginning, but a beginning. You see the number two, it's about witness and support and agreement. Three is the number of completion. There's three great Christian characteristics, faith, hope, and love, three offices of Christ, prophet, priest, king. Jonah was in the fish's belly for what? 3 days. So it's a number of completion, a number that represents finish. Four is an earth-related number. Five is a grace number. There were five wise virgins, five loaves used to feed 5,000 people, the fivefold ministry, five ingredients of the anointing oil. It all revolves around what? Grace, the favor of God. Six is the number of man. Seven is God's perfect number. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Nine is the number of the fruit of the Spirit. 10 is the number of law or man's government. And we could go on and on. But 15 really revolves around five main themes in the Bible. So whenever you see those 42 mentions of the number 15 in the Bible, they really revolve around five main themes, which real quickly are rest, addition, an extension, church, God send or divine connection, and then deliverance. So those are the five main themes that the number 15 revolves around when it's mentioned in the Bible.
Okay. Is there any particular, I know in your book you mention all of this, that you have some biblical references that support, you know, the what the number 15 is meaning. Is there any, like, 15-year-olds mentioned in the Bible? Like, 15?
Well, there's a lot of teenagers mentioned in the Bible, yes. There really is. I mean, you know, we could start out from the very first person, very first teenager mentioned was Cain and Abel. You know, Cain was the first, you know, whether we like it or not, he was the first murderer in the Bible. Then you have Leah, who was a teenager who felt used, unloved. She battled jealousy, insecurity, and depression. How many of our teens deal with that kind of stuff today? Joseph was a teenager when he was betrayed. He was also a teen when he resisted sexual temptation. Think about it. Miriam, when she saved her brother's life. Moses, when she was a teenager, she saved the deliverer of Israel's life as a teen. Jonathan was a teen when he gave up the throne to serve his best friend David. Esther won the heart of a king as a teenager. And even in my book, I talk about how David was a teenager. Jeremiah, he was called to be the prophet of the nation as a young man. He didn't even have a high school diploma yet, but God had called him to be a prophet to the nation. And for the girls out there, think about it. Mary was a young girl, and, you know, she had the seed of God impregnated inside of her. It was hard for her. She got depressed. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes we miss the simplicity of the Bible where the Word of God tells us she was so depressed, she was so sad, she got ran out of town for 3 months. Her first trimester, she went and she spent with Elizabeth. And you know what Elizabeth did? The Bible said she prophesied over her. She brought her back to life. Mary lost her song. You know, she had a great thing happen, but everybody didn't like it. And we need to understand sometimes that just because God does something good in us, everybody ain't going to celebrate that. And that's all right. But Mary went to Elizabeth. Elizabeth prophesied over her. And the Bible tells us that eventually, after those 90 days of just prophesied to, that Mary got her song back. And that's one of those things I talk about in my book, that 2015 is a year when I believe people are going to get their song back. You've lost your song. You lost your dance. You lost your joy. You lost your peace. You may have lost some things, but it's a year of recovery. You're going to get some things back. You're going to get your song back in 2015.
Amen, amen. I received that myself. You know, when you were talking about the five main themes for the number 15, can you elaborate a little bit more? Like, for instance, I think you said divine covenant? Did you say?
Divine connection.
Divine?
Yes, that's one
yeah,
of them.
Connection.
I believe that, you know, one thing that I'm going to do is I'm not just going to pull something out of my head. I'm not just going to give you good ideas. I want to give you God ideas. So everything that I lay out in my book, I have scripture to back that up. You know, the Bible says we can't convict somebody based upon the testimony of one any more than we can have a belief system based upon one scripture. So the Word of God says you got to have two or three references, two or three, you know, incidences in the Bible, two or three stories, two or three scriptures that are going to back up your beliefs. If you cannot do that, then you need to change your belief system. And so one of those things is that 2015 is the year of the godsend or the year of divine connection. You know, there are two kinds of people, godsends and thorns in the flesh, and God knows we've had enough thorns in the flesh. You know, we've had people that come in, they irritate us, agitate us. They want to hold us down or at least keep us on the level they are at because they're comfortable and they don't want to go higher. Well, 2015 is a year when you've got to disconnect from those thorns in the flesh and allow God to bring you God's sends. The Word of God declares there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, John the Baptist came on the scene in the 15th year. This is what the Bible says. In the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, he was released into his ministry. Now, why is that significant? Well, for 400 years, from the end of the Old to the beginning of the New, they were known as Dark Ages. Think about that. 400 years, no message of God was recorded. Nobody heard the voice of the Lord, not because God didn't want to talk, but because people did not want to listen. And because they did not want to listen, those 400 years were known as dark years. But when John came on the scene, what did he do? He turned the tide, he shifted the momentum, and he began to release the word of the Lord once again. And I believe God is going to do that in 2015. He's going to bring people in our life that are going to elevate us and not cause us to be brought down.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. Wow, that's a powerful revelation there. Pastor Bill, we do have a few people on the listening in right now. Do you mind if we take a few calls?
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Okay. And maybe they have some in-depth questions they want to ask you about the book here again, 15, given the number 15, A Prophetic Voice to Release a Vision for Success in 2015. Callers, the line is open right now. The lines are open, so if you have any questions that you want to ask Pastor Bill Jenkins, feel free to do so. Please announce your name and where you're calling from. Again, callers, the lines are open. If you have any questions, feel free to ask your questions. Or and please state your name and where you're calling from. Okay, we'll continue on here. Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned also rest from the five themes for 15?
Yes, rest is an interesting thing for 2015. You know, it's a year when I don't believe you're necessarily going to have you know, total relief, never have a problem, never be disturbed in your life. But I do believe it's a year when God is going to give you rest in him. I reference that by going into the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis, and the 15th time Noah is mentioned is in Genesis 7:7. And it refers to Noah and his family entering the ark because of the water of the flood. Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 7, verse 20, that the waters rose 15 cubits. So the waters rose 15 cubits, but God gave him an ark. So the waters did not hurt him. Him and his family was safe. And so I believe 2015 is a year God is going to allow you to find your resting place. Matthew chapter 11 declares, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. God's going to give you rest. So just like Noah had the ark, Jesus had the garden, Elijah had the cave, God's going to help you find your place of rest from the storm in 2015.
I really agree with that one. Can you... You know, a lot of people out there, I imagine that they will find this a little bit difficult to process, considering, like, for instance, they're working longer hours. But I think it is a time to rest and pull back and seek God, seek ye the kingdom of God. You know, and I agree with you. I believe that this is a time that especially those that are called by his name to seek him so that he can heal the land, to seek him so that whatever situation they're going through that they can come into fruition. What would you like to add a little bit more to that on the rest?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, if you're going to have rest, you're going to have to learn how to set boundaries. You've got to set boundaries. You know, if you have a house, you want to put up a fence to do what? To keep things in, you want to keep in, and to keep things out, you want to keep out. You're the one who's got to set the boundaries. You know, you talked about working more hours. Well, you're going to have to prioritize your life. You're going to have to begin to go through, process things, set some boundaries, get some things that, you know, you may need to get out of your life out, and get some things in that you need to get in. You know, you are the master of your own fate. You're going to determine your own destiny by the choices you make. So you got to make right decisions. So you're going to be responsible. You know, you have to assume the responsibility of your own life. You can't blame others or excuse yourself for why you're not doing or receiving some of these things from God. So let 2015 be a year when you set those boundaries. You are the one who needs to determine that this is going to be acceptable, that's not going to be acceptable. This is going to be allowed, that's not going to be allowed. This is going to be tolerated, that's not going to be tolerated. But you're going to be the key. You got to put your foot down, set those boundaries. And again, when you do that, you're going to find your place of rest. Don't let everything and everyone dictate to you how your year is going to go. You dictate how your year is going to go by making right decisions according to the Word of God.
Amen. Okay, let's talk about Godsend.
Well, the Godsend was what I mentioned a moment ago about John the Baptist, but how about we talk about the addition and extension, because that's a good one right there.
Okay,
you know,
great.
The addition and extension comes simply from a story in the Bible about King Hezekiah. Now, the Bible says, and listen to this, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, he got a knock on the door from a prophet of God. The prophet of God gave him a message, and that message was that he needed to get his affairs in order because he was about to die. Now, I don't mind getting a word. I don't mind somebody prophesying over me, but I don't want that kind of a word. And so Hezekiah had that word. He said, the prophet said, you're going to die. Get your affairs in order. Now, it would have been easy for Hezekiah to get mad at the prophet, get mad at God, get mad at the message, get mad at the messenger, but he didn't do that. What he did was he went, he turned his face towards the wall. The Bible said he focused in, he called out, he reminded God of what he had done, and the Lord changed his mind as a result of his fervent prayer. In so much that before the prophet got to the middle of the court, God told the prophet, go back, tell him that not only is he not going to die, but he's going to get a 15-year extension on his life. So what I'm trying to get across to people is a message of hope and let them know that it doesn't matter how your 2014 went. Maybe you got a death sentence. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you were diagnosed with a disease. Maybe you went through a bankruptcy, a difficult time, lost somebody you love, experienced a great deal of sadness in your life, whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Hold on, because 2015 is going to be a year the momentum is going to shift, the tide is going to turn, and God is going to begin to add and extend your life. He's going to fill your life up. Your world may be black and white, but he's about to make it color in 2015. You're about to have some fireworks go off. God's about to do something awesome. You're about to have some wonderful things happen. So don't give up when you're on the brink of a miracle here in 2015.
Amen, amen. I receive everything that you're saying, and I believe it. And can you, you know, because I noticed that, you know, you mentioned that you're also, you know, on TBN's Generation Acts. For those out there that, you know, like I said, they cannot, everyone can't see the local channels on TBN. Can you tell us a little bit about Generation Acts? I know. We also have some new callers that just called in.
Yeah, well, Generation X is a program, just like our church is a church, that I believe ought to be an exciting place to be. Church has been dull, dry for too long, and I believe that the church is, you know, the vehicle that God is using to really pour out his spirit. You know, that's another theme of my book, just to mention that, is it's the year of the church. The number 15, when it's mentioned in the Bible, revolves around the furnishings inside the sanctuary, the tabernacle, or the church. And that program, Generation Acts, is a program that it's full of preaching the word of God, just taking our services live and putting them on TV and filling the airwaves with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting people know that they can have hope, they can believe again. You know, there's something that they can put their trust in, you know, in their lives. And so we just want to release the fact that we serve a great God. He ain't good just sometimes.
Amen.
He's good all the time. And
we just
want to release that good message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have preaching, you know, I get on there and I just let it go. I let it rip. I let everybody have the word of God, try to teach them, inspire them, train them, set them up for success in their lives, because I believe that God's word has been designed to give us the tools that can help us succeed where we could never succeed any other way than by getting into the word of God.
Amen, amen. You know, I noticed also, too, that you came out of one of my favorite colleges, Christ for the Nations. Can you talk a little bit
Christ
about
for
that?
The Nations.
Yeah,
I tell you what, you know, when I first went there, you know, I tell you what, it was kind of like a deer in headlights, you know. I didn't know what was happening. And it was just the atmosphere, you know. It was great teaching. It was a great school. But more than anything, it was that atmosphere, being around that. You know, I always tell people, you got to be careful what kind of people you hang out with, because if you hang out with some folks, they're going to lift you up and they're going to take you to another level. And so you got to hang out with people that are going to take you to another level. And I'll tell you what, going to Christ for the Nations was an opportunity for me to connect with some people who were on fire for God. And from that day to this day, I tell you, I got a fire burning in my belly because of Christ for the Nations.
Amen, amen. You know, I actually didn't attend school there, but I spent a lot of times at the events that they had, like the worship meetings, and then Cindy Jacobs' 40 days of fasting and prayer. So much is going on in that school. And so one of the things I said, wow, if he went to Christ for the Nations, he's on fire for God.
Yeah, you got it. I am. I tell you what, you can't help but go to that school and feel and experience the power of the Lord.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I literally have experienced it. You will be drunk in the spirit in those worship meetings. I don't know what to say. It's an awesome school. But also, too, I've been listening to your sermons, your messages that you've been delivering through YouTube and on Generations Acts, and I can see that you are really sincere about what you're doing. You tell that you're genuine, you know, just genuinely want to release what the Lord is telling you to say. And it's not often that you find pastors that are, you know, sincere about what they're doing and that they're on fire with it. So I was really impressed, not only impressed, but inspired. you know, with your messages. I encourage you to continue the pace and stay the running the race with God. And I know you're going to do it anyway because you've been doing it for years. Do you have anything else you would like to say to the body of Christ out there?
Well, I just appreciate that comment. You know, I believe in integrity, and I believe, you know, that one of the most important things we can do is, you know, live what we say. Don't just say it behind the pulpit. Don't just say it because it's religious or spiritual, but live it in your life. You know, I got a beautiful wife. I got three great kids. I believe in dating my wife. I've been married 16 years. I date her every week because I believe if I can't be a good husband, yeah, I can't be a good pastor. I coach my kids' teams, baseball, basketball, football. I'm coaching
wow.
their teams because I love it. And because, you know what, I understand if I can't be a good father to those boys, I cannot be a good pastor. I cannot be a good leader to the children and to the folks who come to my church. And so I believe in integrity. I believe in, you know, living it, not just saying it or talking it. And, you know, I think we all need to get back to that. And I believe we have that opportunity to do it here in 2015.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I agree with you. I want to open up the lines again to give the callers an opportunity to say something if they would like to ask. Share their thoughts, any insights, ask for prayer. Hello? Hello? Caller, if you would like to say something, please announce your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hello. This is Brother Juan Evans. I've watched that program, Generation X, and he's always on fire every time I look at him. So I believe every word that he's saying, every word that he's saying, I believe it and I receive it as well. Like I said, I've been struggling for 3.5 years in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I had everything, but I believe by the power of God and the blood of Jesus that this is my season for 2015. So I'm holding on to my faith and I'm believing. When I said I'm going through it, I'm going through it. But sometimes God has to test you and see what you endure. So I believe that 2015 is my season.
Hey, Brother Warren, I got a word for you, man. Can I give you a little word?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
I tell you what, the Lord just spoke to me, man. When you started talking, I could hear the fire in your voice.
Yes,
and I heard
Lord.
The Lord say that your season of endearment is over. And your
Hallelujah.
Season of
Thank
enjoyment
you.
Is upon you. God
Thank
is going to take
Jesus.
You from that season where you've been enduring, holding on, you've been finishing.
Yes.
See, non-finishers are disqualified for kingdom's use. But God
yes.
said he found you faithful. God said that he's found you to be worthy,
Hallelujah.
And your season of enduring is over, and now God is going to
yes.
pour on you a season of enjoyment. You're
yes.
going to laugh more, smile more, be happy
yes,
more,
Jesus.
Be blessed more,
oh,
because
you,
things
Jesus.
Are going to be
Hallelujah.
Drawn to you like a magnet. Things are going
oh,
to come. So
oh,
I call
Lord,
that for
you, glory.
You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
my God. I've been going through so much.
Also, Juan, I want to let you know, too, you were the first caller that called in, so I will be contacting you to send you a free copy of Pastor Bill Jenkins' book.
Oh, my God, glory, hallelujah.
15, A Prophetic Voice. So look forward to receiving a call from me tomorrow so I can get
yes,
the details
Lord.
To send that book out to you, okay?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That
Thanks
is
God
a
bless you, Juan.
Thank you.
God bless you. We do have some other callers on the line with us, so if you have anything you would like to say, any insights or any questions you might have for Pastor Bill Jenkins, you have an opportunity to do so now. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, yes, this is Evangelist Dean McLean speaking.
Good evening, Evangelist Dahima. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. And I have a question for Pastor Bill Jenkins in reference to something that he mentioned. He had said that the church has become dry, in a sense where we're so caught up in the formality of doing church. What is his advice to churches, to believers that he has that will bring that revival? Because truth be told, we do talk about revival. We talk about conferences, and we do them so ritualistically, but we're not seeing any change. We're just seeing the formality of just doing church. So what advice do he have to pastors, to leaders, that will really bring about that recalibration that we need to have within our churches today?
Well, listen, that's an awesome question. I'm going to tell you what we got to do. We got to take the message of Jesus to the world. We got to stop just leaving it in the church and shouting and praising and dancing and going down in the spirit and praying in tongues and take it outside the four walls of the church. You know, we have giveaways. We go to the streets. We minister to the homeless. We go out and we touch people's lives where they're at. You know, they have to see. The world's got to know that, you know, that Jesus can make a difference in their lives. And the church has got to do that. God never told the world to go to church. He told the church to go to the world. And so we may be shouting in our churches while the world is going to hell in a handbasket. We got to go be the salt and the light. We got to infiltrate society. We got to let them know we have the answers. And you know what? We can't live one way in church and another way out of the church. Start living the life. You know, don't just shout your shout and scream and holler and all of that. Listen, I can do it with the best of them.
Yes.
What we need to do is go out there and be salt, be light, be like that John the Baptist. Proclaim the good things of God. Declare the righteousness of God. Declare the coming of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Declare things and turn that darkness around by just shedding a little bit of light. You know, it don't take a lot of light to penetrate darkness. So you don't got to be all that, you know, holy and spiritual. You know what? Just start where you're at. Start where you're at and use that light of God to penetrate that darkness.
Amen.
Amen. I think you have to come back and deliver a sermon here.
I'm always ready to give a sermon.
I'm getting all excited now. Amen. Amen. Do we have any other callers out there that would like to share any insights, or if you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to do so. The lines are open now.
Hello, this is Kevin. How are you?
Doing great, Kevin. How are you?
Doing very well, sir. Very much blessed by your message. I have a concern regarding the Church of Jesus Christ. What does a believer do when the church is under demonic attack, under witchcraft attack, and I'm seeing it, and I'm being an example? Meaning maintaining godly character, loving my brothers and sisters, but the church is under this attack and it doesn't want to repent. What should a believer like myself do under those circumstances?
Well, the thing is, you've got to always remember you can't control yourself. You can't control others. You can only control yourself. So it's got to start with you. And so, you know, we can do those things, binding and loosening, do those things in the privacy of our own closet. Unless we're a pastor and we have been put in some position of authority, we're kind of limited what we can do within the, you know, vehicle of the church. But what we can do, whether we're a pastor or not, is begin to pray down, cast down those strongholds, get a hold of those principalities, identify them. You know, sometimes we don't discern what it may be that's affecting a certain side of town or a city. There's individual demon spirits, but there's also demon spirits that affect regions or different, you know, sides of the city. Maybe north side may have a different spirit than the south side. The east side may have a different spirit than the west side. Discern what those are. Come against them in the name of Jesus. Pull those strongholds down. And you know what? We can have a great impact simply through the power of prayer, but we've got to identify these things. I think you're right. I think we have been too often ignorant of the fact that these spirits are even out there. And if we have, so many times what we've done is we've petted the devils. I always tell people when I'm preaching, I'm not going to pet your devils. I'm not here to pet them. I'm here to cast them out. So that's what we've got to do, is begin to whatever level of authority we have, begin to call things, begin to know them, identify them, cast them down, bring them down through the power of prayer so we can walk in victory and then release that to other people.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen, amen. And I think that's what the body of Christ need now is truth. True spirit of Jesus Christ. And with that, you know, and having men and women of God, men like Pastor Bill Jenkins, who is sincere about the kingdom of God, that makes a big difference. And also, too, having a voice on television broadcasts such as TBN to continue to spread the truth is very important to us right now. We thank you also for writing books. The books that you have are very prophetic and definitely share a word of encouragement and motivation for the body of Christ to move forward. So this is what we need in this hour, and we really thank you for being a true man of God to the body of Christ. Pastor Bill Jenkins, can I ask for you to share something to right now to wake up the body of Christ, just to let them know that the prophetic voice is still there, because there's so many people that do call in or they will send messages to me, and they're going through so many struggles. There's so many things that are going on out there that they need to know that Jesus Christ is alive.
Well, here's the thing. You know, in my book, 15, what I do is I go through every book of the Bible that has a chapter 15. And you ask for one little nugget. Let me give you Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, there's a great story of Moses, who, you know, in chapter 14 of Exodus experienced the great miracle, the Red Sea opening up. They crossed over on dry land. When they got to safety, then what happened? The waters, you know, they engulfed the Egyptians. The waters destroyed them, and the Israelites, they were safe. Well, the Bible says that Moses looked back, and what he did was he got a spontaneous song of deliverance. That's what Exodus 15 is. The first part of it is consumed with the song that Moses sang when he saw what God had done. It wasn't a planned song. It wasn't a hymnal. It wasn't just something that he had, you know, whipped out of his study notes. It was something that came spontaneously, instantly, when he began to see what God had done. And I believe God is going to do that. I believe what God is going to do is going to take supernatural power. What God is going to do is not going to come through the plans of man. What God is going to do is going to come from him. And we need to be open to that. So throw your plans away. Get God into your heart. And then if you read on in Exodus 15, the Bible talks about that for 3 days after Moses wrote that song, for 3 days after that great miracle, that there was no water for them to drink. And just like a lot of church people, the Israelites begin to complain because they got thirsty. They were hot. They saw this miracle. But that was yesterday. They wanted God to move today. And the Bible said they finally came to a point where there was some water, but it was bitter water. But Moses took a tree or a branch and threw it into that water, and that bitter water became sweet. Well, what did he do? I believe that tree represents the cross. That branch represents Jesus. And so when you have bitterness or you have bitter things go on in your life, do what Moses did to turn things around. He took that tree. He basically took the message of the cross. He took the message of Jesus, threw it into that bitter water, and the Bible says it became sweet. So if you got some bitter things going on, get rid of your bitterness. Let it go. Let God have it. Apply the message of the cross. Apply the message of Jesus to that bitter thing in your life and allow it to become sweet. Drink some sweet water in 2015 by applying the message of the cross and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to your situation. I believe that that is the prophetic word of the hour. God is getting rid of bitterness, and he's turning those bitter things to sweet things in 2015.
Amen, amen. I receive that. Amen. Would you like to pray for the body of Christ as we close out? Okay. Thank you.
Well, Lord, I just thank you. We started this program with prayer, and Lord, we're going to end this program with prayer because we believe in the power of prayer. You know, Lord, you are not our audience. We're not just here to talk and allow you to listen, Lord. You're our partner in prayer. So part of prayer is praying and talking to you, but it's also being quiet and listening to what you have to say. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you're doing something. You're not just stirring the pot, but you're bringing change to our lives. And I believe that's what 2015 is all about. And for every listener out there that's gone through a situation that feels hopeless, that's gone through some difficult times, maybe they're experiencing bitterness to people that have hurt them or done them wrong, God, I believe this is a year we're going to let it go, lay it down, lift our hands, and allow you to turn that bitter water back into sweet water in our life. And God, as that happens, allow us to put our hand to the plow and to work for you to build your kingdom, God. That's what we want to do, is build your kingdom, make a difference. Lord, leave a legacy behind for other people to follow. And Lord, if there's an untrailed path, then give us the boldness like John the Baptist to go in that untrailed path and leave a smoking, Lord, trail for other people to follow us through. God, I just bless the people. I thank you, Lord, for ministering healing to them. Somebody's got a left elbow problem that God is healing right now. Somebody's got a foot issue, an ankle problem, and God is healing it. Consistent headaches, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. That knot in the back of your neck, that stiff neckness, God is touching you and lubricating you and bringing healing to your body. And, Lord, we release it right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you in advance, God, that you are a healing God. In your precious name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. I want to say Bishop. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Bill Jenkins. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us tonight and sharing with us about your book, 15, which gives the number 15 in the Bible, a prophetic voice to release a vision for success in 2015. So, Body of Christ, if you're out there listening right now, I encourage you to go out and buy the book. It's on Amazon. You can go to Amazon, and if you just type in 15 or Pastor Bill Jenkins, you will find the book, and you can take time to read it and get some prophetic insights that will help you this year to be successful in everything that you're doing. We do thank you for coming out, Pastor Bill Jenkins. And we also want to lift you up before God also before we go off. And I think Evangelist Dahima McLean, or if you're still there, can you please pray for Pastor Bill Jenkins before we go off the air?
Yes, most certainly. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, as we place the man servant before you, Lord. Lord God, I pray, oh God, that you continue to rest your hands upon your servant. Lord God, I pray, Father God, that his voice, oh God, would be, your voice would be a voice that is used through him, that when others hear him, oh God, that they will hear you, oh God, and that it will bring a change and a transformation to the body of Christ. Lord God, I pray that his life, oh God, in this earth would be a life where others will see you glorified through him, Father. Lord God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, that you continue to open supernatural doors for him. Oh God, I pray that, oh God, that you will bless his going in and his coming out. Oh God, I pray that the blessings of Abraham will be his portion in this hour. And Lord God, in this season of his life, Father God, I pray that you will bring an increase, oh God, to his ministry, an increase to his family, an increase to his personal life. God, I pray that you will show him depths of revelation, oh God, depths of new insight and revelation that will bring, oh God, a new tone to the body of Christ, that people will hearken to your voice. Oh God, I thank you for your manservant. God, I bless him, and I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Amen.
Sis.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. So, Pastor Bill Jenkins, I can't thank you enough for coming out and sharing a word to the body of Christ tonight. And we will continue to buy your books. And we will also continue to follow you on Generation X. If we're ever in Indianapolis, Indiana, we will get in touch with you and come out and visit you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. You're a blessing, sis, and I really appreciate it tonight. Go get that book. I'm telling you, it's 150 pages, full of just prophetic things that are going to set you up. You can go to my website, www.churchofacts.org, ebook, Kindle, Amazon. You can get it on eBay, so just about everywhere. But get that book 15 by Bill Jenkins. I'm telling you, you're going to see God's power just flow through your life as you get the message of that book in your heart.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone out there, and we just want to say God bless all of you. And as always, we love you. We love you, India. We love you, Africa. We love you, China. We love you, Philippines. We love you also in Pakistan. Everywhere, we just want to let you know we love you. And God bless everyone. May the grace of God be with you.